Looking at this article here, Dr. Remick, caught my eye a couple of weeks ago, and we've not had the opportunity to talk about it. So let's get into this now. Is your boss a psychopath? Now, probably, if you're to believe the results of a new scientific study, this was from Oliver James. Now, here's a case study. Here's an example. Many years ago, I worked for a man who forced a pair of employees who had just ended their relationship to move to adjacent workstations. He did it purely for his amusement. Now, maybe you could relate to this kind of story. Now, case studies by psychologists have claimed that successful psychopaths really exist. These are portrayed as emotionally detached, with superficial charm and an unbounded preparedness to use others, differing only from personality disordered criminal psychopaths in being law-abiding citizens. So the idea here is that in some bosses, in people that are successful, they may be showing personality disorder traits, some of them, and we're going to be outlining what personality disorders there are, which are compared to psychopaths, so i.e. criminal.
Am I a criminal? I would imagine people that work with me would say so. Maybe they think I'm a psychopath. But I wouldn't know, because if I'm a psychopath, I wouldn't recognize it anyway. I'd be in complete denial. Psychopaths, sociopaths, asocial personality disorders, these are terms that are mulled around. Now, let's look at it legally. Clinicians use the sociopathic concept. Psychopath is a recognized term. It depends on whether you're talking clinically or whether you're talking forensically. Forensic people are more likely to make a distinction between the psychopath and the sociopath. The psychopath would be more of that criminal type, the murderer, where the sociopath is the person that would do things with less discretion and concern for others, but would be quite narcissistic. Typically speaking, whether you're talking about a difference in them or similarities in them, it really doesn't matter. It's just a matter of semantics here. So these are people who don't learn from their mistakes. They don't care about others. They're very manipulative. They're very exploitive. They're not interested in what anybody else cares about or wants. They're amoral. They're unethical. They could care less what is right and wrong unless it has to do with them. They manipulate the information that even if you're holding a document in front of you that proves them wrong. Most psychopaths, sociopaths are so intelligent, they can manipulate the idea to have you believe that you are misreading the proof that is right before you. That's how clever they are. Now, because of that level of intelligence, they can create many scenarios. They can come up with many logical, rational explanations that takes a long time to catch them in the mistake or in the conflict of information that you're given by these people, whether they're women or whether they're men, whether they're at home in your personal life or at the workplace or recreationally. There's even some people in the spiritual world that are really psychopaths. They're taking advantage of people using the name of religion and God to do so.
So let's have a look at what the personality disorders are then. So you've outlined some of them there. And I'm just looking at this study that's saying that 3 of 11 personality disorders, PDs, were actually more common in managers than in disturbed criminals. And they list some of these personality disorders. So histrionic, superficial charm, insincerity, egocentricity, manipulativeness. There's also a higher incidence, as you said, narcissism, grandiosity, self-focus, lack of empathy for others, being exploitative, and independence. And finally, there were more compulsive personality disorders in the managers, including perfectionism, excessive devotion to work, being very rigid, stubborn, and dictator in their style or tendencies in the workplace.
And this is not very uncommon, and probably you're going to get some SMSs pretty soon. They're going to say, that sounds like my ex-spouse. Adam, because these are very, very common kinds of things with a lot of people, and they'll also project a lot of this. Now, the interesting thing is Dr. Martha Stout in New York has done a lot of research on this recently. She's the most current research person. She found a common denominator among all psychopaths or sociopaths. These are people who play the pity me syndrome. So just when you think you can't catch them on anything because they're too clever, They're too intelligent to be able to be caught because they always have some kind of an explanation that seems to be logical and rational, or they can wear you out to where you don't even want to discuss it anymore. The thing that is the marker, that's a common marker among all of them, regardless of how they use their intelligence, is they play the poor, poor me syndrome, the pity me syndrome. Look at me, I don't have as much. Nobody understands me. I'm not going to be treated unfairly. It's been too much that I've put up with, and everybody gets what they want, and I don't get what I want. These are very typical kind of stuff, and this is the research of Martha Stout. Now, I haven't got a chance to meet her, but I've actually read a lot of her work, and I'm quoting her, actually, in the book that I'm doing on the psychology of terrorists, because one of the kind of terrorists that I'm looking at is actually the psychopathic terrorist. And I quote her in that. There's actually Dr. Semenow, who I've actually studied under. He's one of the professors of the American College of Forensic Examiners International. And I've recently also known him to be at the American Academy for Forensic Sciences, which I'm also a member of. And his work is actually indicating a lot of these symptoms. Now, what's interesting, though, is that his long-term research shows that there are tendencies of this in teenagers that continues on. Now, clinical psychologists would call this the conduct disorder, which is more devastating than oppositional and defiant behavior. Oppositional and defiant behavior may not be criminal, but there are people who are oppositional and defiant. These are usually teenagers. Now, once we also realize that there are several things that could be indicators of this, for instance, one of the common indicators of conduct disorder, later becoming criminals, is children who misabused animals. They treated them badly. They would abuse animals. Would later be a common denominator that was cited in conduct disorder or criminal behavior as adults. Recently, I had a case of a little girl who's spoiled terribly by her parents here in this country. She happened to be 6 years old, took a knife, and stabbed her maid in the leg. Now, there's going to be a couple of explanations for this. One, she's spoiled and thinks she can get by with anything, even murder, even at that young age. And the other thing, she's never been told she's done anything wrong. If she does anything wrong to manipulate, the parents would blame the other person for angering her or upsetting her.
But then for a child of that age to be so aggressive, to think of that, to reach for that,
it won't stop.
Right.
This is considered cute when you're 2 or 3 years old, not the stabbing, of course,
no,
but being aggressive. It's no longer cute when you're 6 years old. And then also, probably what's going on in the family is the disrespect for the nationality of the maid. So this child grows up to be an arrogant little thing and grows up now to be an arrogant big thing. Society's not going to accept it. And she'll end up in a box and buried herself, or she'll end up in prison because the parents never took the chance to teach her that kind of right and wrong.
Mm.
So we look at these kind of situations, and that is an explanation of where it's learned behavior. However, now there is a lot of genetic research that's saying that some of this is genetic. It's congenital kind of conditioning through the neurological process that can become inherited through the reproductive system. So some people are born with genetics for criminal behavior. So there is a lot of research in neuropsychology for that. Now, interestingly, the non-conclusive research is by neuroscientists in California, who I had a chance to meet here at New York University's Abu Dhabi campus last year. And he's talking about teenagers who are bad in their conduct. And he was mostly talking about oppositional defiant conduct disorder, of course. Said that they have the same brainwave activity as a 45-year-old adult. And that's the example he gave. Now, this is non-conclusive, but what he's suggesting is that when you're 45 years old, it's okay to have certain activities going on that are not criminal when you're 45 years old. But when you're 15 years old and you have the same kind of brainwave activity, it is considered abnormal. It is considered to be conduct disorder. He's suggesting that even though there's similarities in the brainwaves, that at 45 years old, you should have learned how to control that behavior to be more socially acceptable, even if neurologically you're showing the same kind of activities.
When we come back, we'll discuss further the idea of success, so as a manager and as a boss, as a leader, as an entrepreneur, and how that success comes about. And you've already talking there about the influence your parents have, your upbringing, and there's some interesting results here showing that these people that are in leadership roles, what their childhoods have been like.